The Space God Memoirs. Episode 29. There was a rushing, a sensation of vertigo, a falling both inward and forward at the same time. Then a contraction, as if I had been all spread out before, and was finally collapsing back into my normal self. But throughout, the feeling of zooming forward continued, lights and colors whizzing by me like I was rapidly going through a tunnel. There I zoomed through a lifetime. My birth and childhood in the Vandrus Collective. My years of journeying across the arid wastes of Aruvus with Rayleigh. The joining up with Ven and Burge to become full-time scavengers. Days going into weeks and months into years, spent under a faded tangerine sun, scrounging through the garbage of ages past. The faces of friends zipped by me, along with a handful of lovers. Mostly just chance encounters. Moments of comfort and release in a tense, hard world. Loves that were and loves that would have been, had I acted differently. Hopes and aspirations came and went. My idea of opening up a parts shop in a small town. Dreams of hitting it big with a cachet of ancient riches. Early plans of romancing and marrying Rayleigh. Whatever. Then it was the starship I called Disa, the one we had built. Tested and then left behind in the northern wastes. A plan with so much potential, so close to succeeding and changing the course of history, now left to flounder in the ruins. All these flashed before me and faded away into the depths of memory, like the dreams of sleep that seemed to lose their significance upon waking. And that was the gist of Kef, a short life that started small and ended with a bit of an event. Now it stood before me, completed, over. And that was just fine. Looking at it all from outside, it was still me. It was all still here with me. The events of my youth, the childhood that had shaped me, all of the diverse loves and hopes and thoughts that made up Kef and made me what I was. I was still that guy, but I wasn't just him. I felt myself move further down the tunnel, more and more stuff flashing into my mind. Lakibra was with me, all her years of sorrow, loneliness, and self-struggle, but all her strength, too, was mine. Her sense of justice, her perseverance, that, too, was me. Not all of me, and in a way still a separate entity, but me all the same. Rayleigh remained, as did Burge, both separate and yet united with the greater me. Their personas, experiences, and skills tucked away into their own corners of my mind. Other visions came as well. Brief lives of men and women in the wastes, hunters and gatherers. I was eaten by beasts in the dunes, or died of thirst upon the great salt flats of the southeast. In one, I saw myself as a woman named Yella, dwelling in the river towns, living quietly, spending a youth gathering mud for my family's brick quarry. Marrying young and living a life of simple pleasures and pains. The joy of giving birth to two children. The agony of losing a third to a miscarriage. Complications of which led to a wasting sickness that took my own life over the next year and a half. I was a young warrior named Garvel Thren, fighting with blade and gun against various competing factions. Battling over an Aruvus that yet burned from the retribution. Its war machines still active. Its lands irradiated and deadly. I struggled and fought alongside a partner, in love as well as war. Side by side, we felt we could bring order to the chaos, conquer our foes, and re-establish the noble society our fathers had let slip from their grasps. Yet it ended abruptly, both of us crushed under the collapsing remains of a towering robotic hulk we had just brought down in order to clear out a war zone. Then I was Janessa Vree, daughter to a councilman in the shining silver metropolis that we would later call Balnar. I was brought into the pilot program at a young age. My mind programmed with the protocols for connecting with the shift engines. Trained to fly the new starships that promised to launch society into a space age, then killed defending the world as the nightmare hordes of bioships suddenly appeared in the atmosphere. Further lives materialized and vanished, feeling as real and current as anything. Were these me? Was this the reincarnation the religious folks talked about? The countless lives we were all said to lead as our souls cycled back and forth between the lands of the living and the dead, seeking to perfect ourselves in the eyes of the gods? Or just dreams? Just ideas and possibilities? Or some sort of mental programs put out by the crystalline matrix I was passing through? Blueprints and archetypes of the way life on shattered Erubus was supposed to look like? At that moment, it didn't matter. They all washed over me and into me, soaking my soul in their reality, their experiences, their sorrows and regrets, their hopes and aspirations, their lessons learned and skills attained. But there was further still. I continued to soar through this kaleidoscoping state of being, dream and reality spinning into one, and then fading into irrelevance as ahead of me the stars grew brighter. A burst of realization came that all those lifetimes were a mask. Behind them lay a reality more solid, and experiences more real than anything I had known as reality. The dream returned to me in fullness, the dream of being on the ship, of coasting across the stars in a vessel more advanced than any theory Kef had ever heard of. Beyond that was a deeper place, lifetime upon lifetime, centuries and millennia of existence reaching back into the cosmic mists of eternity. In that place I knew the secrets of those who would call themselves gods. I walked among them. Images seemed blurry in my mind, but all so real. Serene worlds of order and perfection. Golden starships zooming effortlessly between worlds. Floating fortresses so vast they could swallow 10 planets like Erubus within them. People of perfect beauty and sublime power, calm and yet mighty. All of this I glimpsed, and then it was pushed aside, pushed into that dark vault of my mind, where it was ever present and yet inaccessible in its entirety. I knew I was far more than merely Kef, more than even that collection of lifetimes on dusty old Erubus. There was a me that lay far beyond anything I could recall, a deeper identity, real and yet concealed. Concealed for a reason. For the mission. For the quest. Concealed so that they cannot see it. They? No answer came. I shifted away from all of that, the cascade of lifetimes gone. I was now elsewhere, beyond, above it all. From that great distance I could see everything. The world below, the eye of the gods hovering beyond. And the shimmering band I had just passed through, where dreamy vistas and apparent afterlives seemed to rapidly fluctuate between one state and another. There, in the midst of that radiant band, were people, or what I knew to be people, from here represented by shining points of tiny light, little orbs floating in the translucent morass of their dreams, their hopes, their desires and expectations. And I watched, observing as some orbs came up from the world below, blinking into existence, just as others faded away and were sucked back down to the planet. This happened over and over again, and from my isolated vantage point I began to see something else. Another glimmering energy, extracted from them all, golden and pristine. Some would float up from the surface of Erubus. Other bits of it would gather above the bands. But it all coalesced above, close to where my vantage point was, where it gathered into a golden beam and headed straight for the center of that star-shaped fortress. What was this? I asked myself that, but as I looked on, a part of me knew. This whole thing was some kind of damned power generator. That had to be it, I told myself. It didn't look like any generator I'd seen back on Aruvus. But in principle, it was the same Scraggin thing. A closed system that repeatedly generated that golden stuff, whatever the Scrag it was, and sent it upward, towards the Eye of the Gods. What was it for? Scragged if I knew, but I figured I knew who was getting it. The gods, whoever they actually were. With those thoughts, everything started to fade away, and my consciousness began to slow into something more familiar, more recognizable as awake. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Space God Memoirs. Space God is written, performed, and produced by A.M. Arctos. Original musical score by Alpha Colors. Various sound effects created by Industrial Strength Records Incorporated. Please support this podcast by following, rating, and sharing on your favorite social media site. For further info on Space God, its creator, and various other opinions, musings, and thoughts, go to www.spacegodmemoirs.com or follow me on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook. If you enjoyed the Space God Memoirs, please consider supporting us by becoming a patron. Check out the Patreon link in our description to learn more.